Hello, everyone. We're continuing on with Thomas Watson's Ten Commandments. We're in the introduction still, and now he's going through the preface, which is a longer section. So we started that last time. We're continuing on. He got into the actual preface itself. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. So we started, I am the Lord thy God. And he said that it's a description of God by his essential greatness, I am the Lord. And then number two, by his relative goodness, thy God. So we got through point one there, which is his essential greatness. And we are ready to start point two under that heading. So we'll go ahead and begin here. Number two, God is described by his relative goodness, thy God. Had he called himself Jehovah only, it might have terrified us and made us flee from him. But when he says thy God, it allures and draws us to him. This, though a preface to the law, is pure gospel. The word Eloheha, thy God, is so sweet that we can never suck all the honey out of it. I am thy God, not only by creation, but by election. This word, thy God, though it was spoken to Israel, is a charter which belongs to all the saints. For the further explanation, here are three questions. Question one, how comes God to be our God? Answer, through Jesus Christ. Christ is the middle person in the Trinity. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He brings two different parties together, makes our nature lovely to God, and God's nature lovely to us. By his death, causes friendship, yea, union, and brings us within the verge of the covenant, and thus God becomes our God. Next question, what is implied by God being our God? Answer, it is comprehensive of all good things. God is our strong tower, our fountain of living water, our salvation. More particularly, being our God implies the sweetest relations. Number one, the relation of a father. I will be a father unto you, 2 Corinthians 6:18. A father is full of tender care for his child. Upon whom does he settle the inheritance but his child? God being our God will be a father to us, a father of mercies, 2 Corinthians 1:3. The everlasting Father, Isaiah 9, verse 6. If God be our God, we have a Father in heaven that never dies. Number two, it imports the relation of a husband. Thy maker is thine husband, Isaiah 54, verse 5. If God be our husband, he esteems us precious to him as the apple of his eye, Zechariah 2, 8. He imparts his secrets to us, Psalm 25, verse 14. He bestows a kingdom upon us for a dowry, Luke 12, 32. Question, how may we know that by covenant union, God is our God? Number one, by having his grace planted in us, King's children are known by their costly jewels. It is not having common gifts which shows we belong to God. Many have the gifts of God without God, but it is grace that gives us a true, genuine title to God. In particular, faith is the grace of union by which we may spell out our interest in God. Faith does not, as a mariner, cast its anchor downward, but upward. It trusts in the mercy and blood of God, and trusting in God engages him to be our God. Our graces make us like God. Faith makes us one with him. Number two, we may know God is our God by having the earnest of his spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1:22. God often gives the purse to the wicked, but the spirit only to such as he intends to make his heirs, to receive the inheritance. Have we had the consecration of the spirit? If we have not had the sealing work of the Spirit, have we had the healing work? Yea, have an unction, ye have an unction from the Holy One, 1 John 2:20. The Spirit, where it is, stamps the impress of its own holiness upon the heart. It embroiders and bespangles the soul and makes it all glorious within. Have we had the attraction of the Spirit? Draw me, we will run after thee, Canticles or Song of Solomon 1 verse 4. Has the Spirit by his magnetic virtue drawn our hearts to God? Can we say, O thou whom my soul loveth, Canticles 1 7. Is God our paradise of delight, our segula or chief treasure? Are our hearts so chained to God that no other object can enchant us or draw us away from him? Have we had the elevation of the Spirit? Has he raised our hearts above the world? The Spirit lifted me up, Ezekiel 3:14. Has the Spirit made us seek the things above where Christ is? Though our flesh is on earth, is our heart in heaven? Though we live here, trade we above? Has the Spirit thus lifted us up? By this way, we may know that God is our God. Where God gives us his Spirit for an earnest, there he gives himself for a portion. Number three, we may know God is our God if we have given, if he has given us the hearts of children. Have we obediential hearts? Psalm 27, verse 8. Do we subscribe to God's commands when his commands cross our will? A true saint is like the flower of the sun, which opens and shuts with the sun. He opens to God and shuts to sin. If we have the hearts of children, God is our Father. Number four, we may know God is our God and we have an interest in him by standing up for his interest. We shall appear in his cause and vindicate his truth, wherein his glory is so much concerned. Athanasius was the bulwark of truth. He stood up for it when most of the world were Arians. In former times, the nobles of Polonia, where the gospel was read, laid their hands upon their swords, signifying that they were ready to defend the faith and hazard their lives for the gospel. There is no better sign of having an interest in God than standing up for his interest. Number five, we may know God is ours and we have an interest in him by his having an interest in us. My beloved is mine and I am his, Canticles 2, verse 16. When God says to the soul, thou art mine, the soul answers, Lord, I am thine. All I have is at thy service. My head shall be thine to study for thee. My tongue shall be thine to praise thee. If God be our God by way of donation, we are his by way of dedication. We live to him and are more his than we are our own. Thus we may come to know God, know that God is our God. Use number one. Above all things, let us get this great charter confirmed that God is our God. Our God. Deity is not comfortable without propriety. Let us labor to get sound evidences that God is our God. We cannot call health, liberty, estate ours, but let us be able to call God ours and say as the church, God, even our own God, shall bless us. Psalm 67, verse 6. Let every soul labor to pronounce the shibboleth, my God, that we may endeavor to have God for our God. Consider the misery of such as have not God for their God. In how sad a condition are they when the hour of distress comes? This was Saul's case when he said, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me. 1 Samuel 28:15. A wicked man in time of trouble is like a vessel tossed on the sea without an anchor, which strikes on rocks or sands. A sinner who has not God to be his God may make a shift while he has health and an estate, but when these crutches on which he leaned are broken, his heart must sink. It was with him as it was with the cold world, or the old world, when the flood came. The waters at first came to the valleys, but then the people would get to the hills and mountains. But when the waters came to the mountains, then there might be some trees on high hills, and they would climb up to them. Aye, but the waters rose above the tops of the trees, and then their hearts failed them, and all hopes of being saved were gone. So it is with a man that has not God to be his God. If one comfort be taken away, he has another. If he lose a child, he has an estate. But when the waters rise higher, death comes and takes all away, and he has nothing to help himself with, no God to go to, he must needs die in despair. How great a privilege it is to have God for our God. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144:15. Man's happiness is God himself, I believe said Augustine. That you may see the privilege of this charter, number one, if God be our God, then though we may feel the stroke of evil, yet not the sting. He must needs be happy who is in such a condition that nothing can hurt him. If he lose his name, it is written in the book of life. If he loses liberty, his conscience is free. If he lose his estate, he is possessed of the pearl of price. If he meets with storms, he knows where to put in for harbor. God is his God, and heaven is his heaven. Number two, if God be our God, our soul is safe. The soul is the jewel, it is the blossom of eternity. I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. In the Chaldee, it is in the midst of my sheath, said Daniel 7:15. The body is but the sheath. The soul is the princely part of man, which sways the scepter of reason. It is a celestial spark, as Damascene calls it. If God be our God, the soul is safe, as in a garrison. Death can do no more hurt to a virtuous heaven-born soul than David did to Saul when he cut off the skirt of his garment. The soul is safe, being hid in the promises, hid in the wounds of Christ, hid in God's decree. The soul is the pearl, and heaven is the cabinet where God will lock it up safe. Number three, if God be our God, then all that is in God is ours. The Lord says to a saint in covenant, as the king of Israel to the king of Syria, I am thine and all that I have, 1 Kings 20, verse 4. So says God, I am thine. How happy is he who not only inherits the gift of God, but inherits God himself. All that I have shall be thine. My wisdom shall be yours to teach you. My power shall be yours to support you. My mercy shall be yours to save you. God is an infinite ocean of blessedness, and there is enough in him to fill us. As if 1,000 vessels were thrown into the sea, there is enough in the sea to fill them. Number four, if God be our God, he will entirely love us. Property is the ground of love. God may give men kingdoms, but not love them. But he cannot be our God and not love us. He calls us his covenanted saints, the dearly beloved of my soul, Jeremiah 12, verse 7. He rejoices over them with joy and rests in his love, Zephaniah 3, 17. They are his refined silver, Zechariah 13, 9. His jewels, Malachi 3, 17. His royal diadem, Isaiah 62, verse 3. He gives them the cream and flour of his love. He not only opens his hand and fills them, but opens his heart and fills them. Psalm 145, 16. Number five, if God be our God, he will do more for us than all the world besides can. What is that? Number one, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make music within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace and trouble. He will send the Comforter, who, as a dove, brings an olive branch of peace in his mouth. John 14, 16. Number two, God will give us a crown of immortality. The world can give us a crown of gold, but that crown has thorns in it and death in it. But God will give you a crown of glory that fades not away. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. The garland made of the flowers of paradise never withers. Number six, if God be our God, he will bear with many infirmities. He may respite sinners a while, but long forbearance is no acquittance. He will throw them to hell for their sins. But if he be our God, he will not for every failing destroy us. He bears with his spouse as with the weaker vessel. He may chastise, Psalm 89, verse 32. He may use the rod and the pruning knife, but not the bloody axe. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, Numbers 23, 21. He will not see sin in his people so as to destroy them, but their sins so as to pity them. He sees them as a physician, a disease in his patient, as a physician sees a disease in his patient, to heal him. I have seen his ways and will heal him, Isaiah 58, 18. Every failing does not break the marriage bond asunder. The disciples had great failings. They all forsook Christ and fled. But this did not break off their interest in God. Therefore, says Christ at his ascension, tell my disciples, I go to my God and to their God. Number 7, if God be once our God, he is so forever. This God is our God forever and ever. Psalm 48, verse 14. Whatever worldly comforts we have, they are but for a season, and we must part with all. Hebrews 11, 25. As Paul's friends accompanied him to the ship and there left him, Acts 20, 38, so all our earthly comforts will but go with us to the grave and there leave us. You cannot say you have health and shall have it forever. You have a child and shall have it forever. But if God be your God, you shall have him forever. This God is our God forever and ever. If God be our God, he will be a God to us as long as he is a God. Ye have taken away my gods, said Micah, Judges 18:24. But it cannot be said to a believer that his God is taken away. He may lose all things else, but cannot lose his God. God is ours from everlasting in election and to everlasting in glory. Number 8, if God be our God, we shall enjoy all our godly relations with him in heaven. The great felicity on earth is to enjoy relations, or the great happiness. It brings great happiness here on earth. A father sees his own picture in a child, and a wife sees herself in her husband. We plant the flower of love among our relations, and the loss of them is like the pulling off of a limb from the body. But if God be ours, with the enjoyment of God, we shall enjoy all our pious relations in glory. The gracious child shall see his godly father. The virtuous wife shall see her religious husband in Christ's arms. And then there will be a dearer love to relations than there ever was before, though in a far different manner. Then relations shall meet and never part. And so shall we be ever with the Lord, the greatest relation that we would have in heaven. Use number 2. To such as can realize this covenant union, we have several exhortations. Number 1, if God be our God, let us improve our interest in him. Let us cast all our burdens upon him, the burden of our fears, our wants or lacks, and our sins. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Psalm 55, 22. Wicked men who are a burden to God have no right to cast their burden upon him, but such as have God for their God are called upon to cast their burdens on him. Where should the child ease all its cares but in the bosom of a parent? So a sinner is called to cast his cares, but that is in the light of being, as having God as your God. A continuous wicked man who will not have God as their God cannot, cast his cares on God. Where should the child ease all its cares but in the bosom of its parent? And see, that's the difference, right? Let all thy wants lie upon me, Judges 19, verse 20. So God seems to say to his children, let all your wants or lacks lie upon me. Christian, what troubles you? You have a God to pardon your sins and to supply all your wants, or lacks. Therefore, roll your burden on him, casting all your care upon him, 1 Peter 5, 7. Why are Christians so disquieted in their minds? They are taking care when they should be casting care. Number two, if God be our God, let us learn to be contented, though we have the less of other things. Contentment is a rare jewel. It is the cure of care. If we have God to be our God, well may we be contented. I know whom I have believed, 2 Timothy 1:12. There was Paul's interest in God as having nothing and yet possessing all things, 2 Corinthians 6:10. Here was his content. That such who have covenant union with God may be filled with contentment of spirit, consider what a rich blessing God is to the soul. He is a sufficient good. He who has God has enough. If a man be thirsty, bring him to a spring and he is satisfied. In God there is enough to fill the heaven-born soul. He gives grace and glory. Psalm 84:11. There is in God not only a sufficiency, but a redundancy. He is not only full as a vessel, but as a spring. Other things can no more fill the soul than a mariner's breath can fill the sails of a ship. But in God, there is an infinite fullness. He has enough to fill the angels, therefore enough to fill us. The heart is a triangle which only the Trinity can fill. God is a sanctifying good. He sanctifies all our comforts and turn them into blessings. Health is blessed. Estate is blessed. He gives with the venison a blessing. I will abundantly bless her provision. Psalm 132:15. He gives us the life we have as an earnest of more. He gives the little meal in the barrel as an earnest of the royal feast in paradise. He sanctifies all our crosses. They shall not be destructive punishments, but medicines. They shall corrode and eat out the venom of sin. They shall polish and refine our grace. The more the diamond is cut, the more it sparkles. When God stretches the strings of his violin, it is to make the music better. God is a choice good. All things are but the blessings of a footstool, but to have God himself to be ours is the blessing of the throne. Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, but he settled the inheritance upon Isaac. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, Genesis 25:5. God may send away the men of the world with gifts, a little gold and silver, but in giving us himself, he gives us the very essence, his grace, his love, his kingdom. Here is the crowning blessing. God is the chief good. In the chief good, there must be delectability. It must have something that is delicious and sweet. And where can we suck those pure essential comforts which ravish us with delight but in God? In God's character, there is a certain sweetness which fascinates or rather enraptures the soul. At thy right hand, there are pleasures. Psalm 16:11. In the chief good, there must be transcendency. It must have a surpassing excellence. Thus, God is infinitely better than all other things. It is below the deity to compare other things with it. Who would weigh a feather against a mountain of gold? God is the springs of all entities, and the cause is more noble than the effect. It is God that bespangles the creation, that puts light into the sun, that fills the veins of the earth with silver. Creatures do but maintain life. God gives life. And we only maintain it by means. He infinitely outshines all subluminary glory. He is better than the soul, than angels, and than heaven. So God maintains our lives as well in his power. And then gives us and grants us provisions to do as such. He infinitely outshines all subluminary glory. He is better than the soul, than angels, and than heaven. In the chief good, there must be not only fullness, but variety. Where variety is wanting or lacking, we are apt to nauseate. To feed only on honey would breed loathing, but in God is all variety of fullness. Colossians 1:19. He is a universal good, commensurate to all our wants or needs or lacks. He is the good in which is every good, a son, a portion, a horn of salvation. He is called the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:3. There is a compilation of all beauties and delights in him. Health has not the comfort of beauty, nor beauty of riches, nor riches of wisdom, but God is the God of all comfort. In the chief good, there must be eternity. God is a treasure that can neither be drawn low nor drawn dry. Though the angels are continually spending what is his, he can never be spent. He abides forever. Eternity is a flower of his crown. Now, if God be our God, there is enough to let full contentment into our souls. What need we of torchlight when we have the sun? What if God deny the flower? If he has given us the jewel? How should a Christian's heart rest on this rock? If we say God is our God and we are not content, we have cause to question our interest in him. Number three, if we can clear up this covenant union that God is our God, let it cheer and revive us in all conditions. To be content with God is not enough, but to be cheerful. What greater cordial can you have than union with deity? When Jesus Christ was ready to ascend, he could not leave a richer consolation with his disciples than this: I ascend to my God and to your God, John 20, verse 17. Who should rejoice if not they have an infinite, all-sufficient, eternal God to be their portion, who are as rich as heaven can make them? What though I want health or lack health, I have God who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42:11. What though I am low in the world, if I have not the earth, I have him that made it. The philosopher comforted himself by saying, though I have no music or vine trees, yet here are the household gods with me. So though we have not the vine or fig tree, yet we have God, the God we're talking about, with us. I cannot be poor, says Bernard, as long as God is rich, for his riches are mine. Oh, let the saints rejoice in this covenant union. To say God is ours is more than to say heaven is ours, for heaven would not be heaven without him. All the stars cannot make day without the sun. All the angels, those morning stars, cannot make heaven without Christ, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. And as to have God for our God is matter of rejoicing in life, so especially it will be at death. Let a Christian think thus: I am going to my God. A child is glad when he is going home to his father. It was Christ's comfort when he was leaving the world: I ascend to my God, John 20:17. And this is a believer's deathbed cordial: I am going to my God. I shall change my place, but not my kindred. I go to my God and my Father. Number four, if God be our God, let us break forth into praise. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Psalm 118:28. O infinite, astonishing mercy, that God should take dust and ashes into so near a bond of love as to be our God. As Micah said, what have I more? Judges 18:24. So what has God more? What richer jewel has he to bestow upon us than himself? What has he more, that God should put off most of the world with riches and honor, that he should pass over himself to us by a deed of gift to be our God, and by virtue of this settle a kingdom upon us? Oh, let us praise him with the best instrument, the heart, and let this instrument be screwed up to the highest pitch, or turned up to the highest pitch. Let us praise him with our whole heart. See how David rises by degrees. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice and shout for joy. Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad. There is thankfulness. Rejoice. There is cheerfulness. Shout. There is triumph. Praise is called incense because it is sweet sacrifice. Let the saints be choristers, or ones who sing in God's praises, especially in the heart. The deepest springs yield the sweetest water. The more deeply sensible we are of God's covenant love to us, the sweeter praises we should yield. We should begin here to eternize God's name and do that work on earth, which we shall be always doing in heaven. While I live, will I praise the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 2. Number 5, let us carry ourselves as those who have God to be our God. That is, walk so that others may see there is something of God in us. Live holily, or be holy, live in holiness. What have we to do with sin, which if it does not break, will weaken our interest? What have I to do anymore with idols? Hosea 14:8. So would a Christian say, God is my God, what have I to do anymore with sin, with lust, pride, malice? Bid me commit sin, as well bid me drink poison. Shall I forfeit my interest in God? Let me rather die than willingly offend him who is the crown of my joy, the God of my salvation. Amen. All right. That's the end of the that first phrase. I'm the Lord your God. And Lord willing, we'll go into which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Starts that the next section. And we plan to do that next time. But until then, go in God's graces. And Lord willing, we will talk again soon.